Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Someone once said that peace are those short periods of time where people stop for a moment to reload. That's it. Because we're at war all the time. It's not going to end. It's not going to stop. But when Jesus came, that peace that he was talking about was an extension of peace from God to man. You are at war and enmity with me. You have denied me. You have forgotten me. You have forsaken me. And therefore, you are destined for hell. And there's no way around it. But now I am sending my son who extends the offer of peace. If you want peace with me, it comes through him, the Prince of Peace.
We've all imagined peace, but has anyone really experienced it? We live in a fallen world full of guilty people who would rather be right than know the truth. Today, Pastor Troy reminds us that none of us know true peace until we meet Jesus Christ and invite him into our lives. Don't let this Christmas season fool you. When the start of the year begins, people will go right back to their anarchy. Let's combat the chaos by spending time in the Word and being grateful for the love and grace and peace we have through Christ. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Isaiah chapter 9 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
There's a mighty God who knows everything about us. It says, Everlasting Father. Now, don't confuse this with Jesus being the everlasting Father in the sense that there's no one in heaven. You know, he's here. He always prayed, sought the Father. He says, I submit. I, as the Son, submit myself to the Father. But what Jesus did do, two things. One, he revealed the Father to us because the Father and Jesus are the same. They're God. It's not like twins. Twins may do two different things. God doesn't. He's one. It's of one mind. And so, even in different persons, one mind, one will, one plan, one direction, one eternity, one beginning, or no beginning, actually, no beginning for him. So, when Jesus came, we wondered, what is God like? What is our heavenly Father, the big guy in the sky? What's he like? Jesus said, you want to know what he's like? You look at me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The disciples asked that very question. They said, Jesus, show us the Father. We'll believe. He said, don't you get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He wasn't necessarily talking about, yeah, look at this nose. Look at, God has no nose. You know, he doesn't have those features. So it wasn't talking about the flesh as much as it was talking about who he is, his personality, his character, his being, his mercy, his miracles. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So one, Jesus revealed the everlasting Father perfectly. Two, in a sense, Jesus is like a father in that there was nothing made here on earth. There was nothing that exists that Jesus wasn't there to create. Look at John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. There's nothing that exists, nothing out there, nothing that Jesus didn't make, which means we don't have to keep trying to look and spend lots of money looking for life on every other planet. You know, the Mormons, they keep changing their doctrines because one of their doctrines was, do you think there's life on the sun? Do you think there's life on the moon? Absolutely, there's life on the sun and the moon. Do you think God would waste his efforts? He made them, and there's planets, and there's a God of that planet, and there's a God of that planet, and their own missionary work, and, you know, everything. It was just strange. And then they changed that doctrine, obviously, once we landed on the moon. Church, strike that one from the records. Pretend that one never existed. We can look all we want to. We can see all the different UFOs. I believe in UFOs, not alien UFOs, but unidentified flying objects. I don't know what that is. I've seen some of those just crossing the street. What was that? It was a UFO? I didn't know what it was. So I believe in those things. I believe there's things in the sky that drop, fall, change color, and do everything else, but I don't believe that there's another life that God didn't create. It's just not out there. You're not going to find it. Mark my words. It's on video. It isn't there. If they seem to find anything, it will be part of that great deception in the end times to explain why so many of us disappeared for the rapture. Mark those words too. Other than that, we can stop wasting all of our money trying to figure out how we can live on another planet. If there's a plant on another planet, fine. We needed it there for this planet, for whatever reason. I'm not being arrogant. I'm just trusting God. It's amazing. You can say, how could you say that we're that significant in the universe? Look how small we are. That's one perspective. I mean, compared to God, we're very, very small. However, have you ever used a microscope? We're also very, very big. You start looking at some of those things, they're real small. We're like a solar system ourselves, the stuff that's going on in just our body. So we're middle-sized. But compared to God, we do disappear. We are small, but he cares about us. And that's what the psalmist said, what is man that you are mindful of? Who are we that you would care? And yet he does, everlasting Father. Like a father. And then Prince of Peace. That's what Jesus came to offer. You know, the Christmas cards make it feel like at Christmas time we should all just lay aside our battles and sing kumbaya. We just get along at Christmas. And unless you're in the stores or in traffic, for the most part, that can be true. People lay aside their frustrations and get along. It's just that kind of a season. But when Jesus and the angels declared peace on earth, goodwill toward men, it was not, there's going to be peace now, because that hasn't happened. We're always at war somewhere in the world, always. Someone once said that peace are those short periods of time where people stop for a moment to reload. That's it, because we're at war all the time. It's not going to end. It's not going to stop. But when Jesus came, that peace that he was talking about was an extension of peace from God to man. You are at war and enmity with me. You have denied me. You have forgotten me. You have forsaken me. And therefore, you are destined for hell. And there's no way around it. But now I am sending my son who extends the offer of peace. If you want peace with me, it comes through him, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. So that's the kingship. Finally, let's talk about the kingdom. Verse 7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice. From that time forward, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Again, Isaiah is looking forward beyond the nativity scene, really, to the second coming of Christ and the establishing of his rule here on earth. That time is going to happen. He is going to come. He is going to come back. He is going to rule. Everything else in the scripture has come true. So that is going to happen. And he says, and it will be an eternal peace. It will continue. It will not stop. Once he establishes himself, it will continue. Now, he's building it now. We talked about it in the hearts of men. You believe? I don't have to try to convince you. There's a Holy Spirit out there who's doing that job. All I got to do is live my life for his glory, share his word as God gives me the opportunity to do that. And that's it. That's enough light shining, because the scripture says the heavens declare the glory of God. Is there a God? Is there a God? I don't believe in a God. Well, you can't look at the world without going, this is order. This has been ordered. This isn't random chaos that came together. There's order here. There's cycles. There's seasons. There's laws that are in effect and laws that can override other laws. And there's order. There must be a creator of this order. You can't look and honestly deny that. You can only look and dishonestly deny that. Like, I just am not going to believe it. So Isaiah is looking forward at this kingdom that is going to come. And he also says it will be a historical kingdom. In other words, this world that we live in isn't going to be crumpled up and thrown away and totally forgotten and erased from our minds, and we're just in heaven like nothing bad ever happened. That can't be the way it goes. If that happened, there could be another fall. See, it was very important that we remember what happens here. What happened here is very important, very critical to God's allowing all of this to happen in the first place. See, in the garden, we were perfect. Does God love me? Absolutely. He's my dad. But until you do something wrong, until you do something that is unlovable, and then find that, no, he really loves me, you don't realize how much he loves you. Part of the plan of God in allowing the fall and allowing all of this, allowing men to shake their fists, and then later on, instead of being judged on the spot, because that's what I would do. You shake your fist at me. All right. Anyone else? That's the way I would do it. I wonder, why, God, do you not smite them? And it's because some of those who've shaken their fist at him will later give their lives to him. And he knows that. And we'll go, man, God, there's none like you. Certainly not me. And we will know forever the depth of his love. That he went to the cross for that person that would shake their fist at him, knowing that that person one day would break down. Finally listen and receive the Holy Spirit of God. Receive that conviction. Come to faith. God knew that. Scripture says he's patient, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Can anything go against God's will? That one thing. It's not God's will that any perish, but will some perish? Yeah. You know why? Because we have a choice. We have a choice in the matter. You can believe or you can reject. So Isaiah sees this time coming in the end when he rules. And it's going to be perfect. It's going to be an extension of this world. And not only that, but we will see the wrath of God poured out. You know, in Revelation, it talks about at the end, during that last period on earth, when everything starts to fall apart, we who have been caught up to be with him will see a scene. And we'll see the wrath, we'll see things being poured out. But there will be one bowl in particular that is poured out upon this earth in judgment that causes us to be quiet for 30 minutes. Just like, I mean, we won't be able to say anything. We'll wonder, why do they not turn? Oh, and then the scene down here is rocks are just falling apart down here. And they're going, like, why don't they turn? I don't get it. And they won't. They just won't. Because the heart gets so hard.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. So stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
Can you imagine a time when all that is gone and we're in the kingdom with him and there is perfect rule? One with a perfect mind, perfect will, not a selfish will, but a perfect will. Perfect justice. A ruler that you love. A ruler you can keep forever. You know, Israel had a king that they loved. Uzziah was a king that they loved. So much so that when he died, in chapter 6 of Isaiah, Isaiah begins, in the year that King Uzziah died. Because for so long, they loved it. They loved the political scene. They loved where they were at. They were at peace, prosperous. The king wasn't making a bunch of enemies, and God was blessing them, and it was just wonderful. But they had had their bad seasons, their wicked kings. And so they go from Uzziah and all those years. And he lived for a longer time than many of the kings. And then he dies. And it's like, oh my, where are we going now? You ever felt that? Maybe we have. Where are we going now? And you wonder. But see, God was in control a king, a ruler, a person is not going to save this world or keep us in forever peace. It's just not going to happen. It's going to take the Prince of Peace, the one who was promised, the one who's going to come. He's going to come. Right now, he's establishing that kingdom in the hearts of men. And in us, we can have peace even when things are tumultuous and there's a tempest around us. We can still have peace because of the Prince of Peace. But imagine a world where everything is fair and right. Oh, that'd be so awesome. Unless you're one of those who's lying and cheating and hiding things. Then, you know. And for all of us, there'd be some things that God has to bring out that we didn't realize. Because the scripture says your heart is even deceitful. It tricks you. You think you have good intentions, but you don't. Is my heart that bad? Yes, it is. And so when all of that is brought out, you know why we have those wrong intentions, those deceptions, why we do the lying? It's because we don't trust God. And we don't trust others to take care of us. We got to take care of ourselves. So we do whatever we feel like we need to do to take care of ourselves. That's sin. It's not trusting God. That's sin. And so in this day, when everything is fair and everything is right, I bet all of us could be a lot more honest and open if we knew we'd be okay by doing it. We just don't know that we will. We're a little afraid. So we try to take care of ourselves. But we need to learn to trust Him more. The truth, it sets you free. You don't carry this weight of guilt or whatever else you may be carrying. You get rid of it. Just be honest. Just be truthful. And you'd be surprised at the burden that can be lifted. See, what we don't need is to hide everything so that everyone thinks everything is okay. What we really need is to be forgiven and to have a brand new start. So often God gives us a brand new start. Sometimes He gives us a brand new start. He cleanses us and we go, man, I feel free. Sometimes He moves us and we get a start in a new place and we get a brand new start. But everything, God gives us a brand new start if we'll trust Him. And truth will be the thing that settles all arguments. The truth. Well, whose truth, some might ask? The truth. Stop it. We only say, I have a truth and you have a truth because we see things differently. But there is a right way to see it. You know why? Because God created order. It's God's way. We've forgotten God's way. I think my way is the right standard, and you think your way is the right standard. My way works for me, your way works for you. Don't tell my family what to do. I'm not my family. You don't want to have a tree? That's fine, do that. Don't get on me. We have a tree. I decorate it for the glory of the Lord. So we have different standards. My truth is this, your truth is that. But we're not talking about truth. We're talking about our perspective. Because see, truth, there is only one of them. And God's standard is truth. God establishes truth. He created us. He knows how we're made. He knows what we need mentally, emotionally, physically, everything He knows. And in that day, truth will rule and settle all arguments. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. No more politicians trying to tell you all that they're going to do to fix the world or to fix our corner of the world. We won't need to be governed by them, not by men, because Christ will govern us. What is right will be done. What is promised will be fulfilled. And He won't say, well, we had gridlock in the Trinity. They never have gridlock in the Trinity. They're always in full agreement. I'm so looking for that kind of government, that kind of rule, that kind of king and father. All order will be restored. You know, I just want to fix the order in my home sometimes. It gets a little out of order. I just want to try to fix that, and I find it hard. Jesus is going to come. When He comes and reestablishes order, as He rules and reigns, it's not just going to be in homes and in the world. It's going to be in the animal kingdom. Order is going to be restored. Listen to what Isaiah says, a little snippet of the coming kingdom. He writes, Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Little child. You know, I'm not a cat person. We have a cat. I'm not a cat person, but you can't put a cat on a leash, you know. They don't like it. But then you're going to be able to clip a little leash on the lion and walk around. See my pet? Grab him. You don't even need a leash. Just grab his mane and snuggle up with him. And, oh man, probably make a good pillow. I'd like to take a nap on a lion maybe. You can do that during that time. There's a scripture that says the little child will stick his hand in the viper's den and not be harmed. I didn't say that whether the vipers might be harmed, the little child grab them going like that or something, but there'll be no harm because there will be an order we've never known since the fall. We can't even conceive it. Some say this is fairy tale manufactured because they don't have faith in God and what he can do. They don't believe in him. They don't believe in what he can accomplish. They don't believe in what has happened and where we've come from, who we are, and why there's a problem in the world. But today, this week, we celebrate a promise kept. A baby came. We believe. We do believe everything he said is going to come to pass. And it is so important that this baby came because it means the rest of the promises will also come to pass. I mean, everything was against that nation. Droughts, other nations, bigger nations, pharaohs, everything, plagues, everything was against that little nation. And despite all of that, this promise, the Son, came through them. They should have been a non-existent nation twice or more. And yet here they still are. God's promises are faithful, and we can trust them. And this child represents that. Hard to imagine a kingdom like that, but it's coming. So the child who is also a son who was given, who is the king that is coming, who is the mighty God, who reveals the eternal Father to us and has an everlasting reign. He is the king of Christmas, Jesus. He's the king. Jesus is the name, the savior of all who put their faith in him. He will do everything to reveal himself. He's even given you the ability to have faith. You can't even muster that. You can't even create that on your own. He's given you the ability to have faith. I mean, everybody has faith in something. Evolutionists have faith that this little span of time that they theorize actually leads to the fact that there may have been millions of years. They have that by faith. They weren't there millions of years, but they go, well, it must be. I put my faith in that. Everyone has faith. We weren't there in the beginning. We put our faith in something, some story, something someone has told us, some observation we've made for ourselves that even Satan can start to work into our life to teach us the false and not truth. We all put our faith in something because we've been given the gift of faith. So what are we going to put it in? Will you believe? Will you not just see Jesus as the baby, but also as the one who went to the cross? If this baby who grew up and endured the cross and has the government upon his shoulders and could make sure that he was born, he survived, went to the cross, and that the second coming is going to happen and this eternal kingdom is going to take place, if he can do all that, can't he handle your problems? He can. And so I pray that you're able to find your rest. May it be the greatest gift you receive this Christmas. May you be able to find your rest in him. Be thankful that he came, this baby, but he didn't stay a baby. There's a bigger plan that was at work and it's still unfolding, and it's in your heart. In your heart, are you willing to put your faith in him and to trust him? If you do, everything will change for you, in and around you, like you never thought it could.
That's all we have time for today on Building on the Solid Rock. Next time, Pastor Troy Neely will be teaching again and sharing some great truths from the Bible. How are you feeling so far in this Christmas season? Are you feeling run down, or are you ready to get started with all the festivities? We hope this message brought some proper perspective on the purpose and meaning of Christmas. If there's anything that really spoke to you in this message, we'd love to hear about it. You can send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. If you're looking for a place to worship God and celebrate the gift of his son, come join us at Calvary Chapel Solid Rock. You'll find service times on our website. Just follow the link from buildingonthesolidrock.com. We offer an online service as well, so go to buildingonthesolidrock.com for more details. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us.
Come.